a little after 9:30 this Wednesday morning, and with the students are back in colleges and the universities are filling up again, and I think a lot of people, as you probably know, were kind of robbed really of their first year experiences last year and kind of stuck on laptops and lectures and kitchen tables, and they lost a lot, lost out on an awful lot. But I'm going to go back to a time closer to my own, because I was caught by Annie Colleran's story, and I want to trash it out with her now. Good morning, Annie.
Hi, Ryan.
Nice to talk to you. How are you doing today?
I'm good. What? It's a bit strange to be on your show rather than listening to it while I'm emptying the dishwasher, but that's fine.
Dishwasher. Can I ask you about your dishwasher very briefly?
It's hideous. It's awful.
I'm gonna ask you a question.
More stuff on the dishes than it takes off. But apart from that,
my question is this: Do you have a sort of places for the different things, or is it just lash it all in?
No, there's a very specific place for everything.
Thank you. Thank you.
And when people do it wrong, I have to wait until they're out of the room and rearrange it.
Yeah, no wonder you listen to this program. Yeah, we're like-minded souls. Okay, Annie. Right, let's talk turkey here. We're going to go back to young you. Younger you. Maybe 14 years old. Where had you been living? You could have quite a peripatetic existence, hadn't you? You went all over
the place. Exactly. Yeah, I lived all over the place. But when I was 14, my parents had moved. I was born in Australia. Mm-hmm. My parents, my dad's English and my mother is Irish English. Mm-hmm. And they had emigrated out to Australia before I was born. And they kind of had this issue, which I think it happens to a lot of people who've emigrated, is that they want to go. There's something that pushes them to go. But when they get to the other side of the world, then suddenly they realize there's actually a lot they like about where they came from. So then they're kind of in a half-life where they don't know where they fit in, or they feel like there's a lot to be gained from moving, but there's also a lot to be lost. Anyway, because of that, they moved back and forth several times before now finally staying out in Australia. But when I was 14, they moved. They decided that we should leave Australia and we could come back to Europe and be Europeans again.
Okay, so you're now back as what year are we talking about?
We moved back in 1992. I started college then in 98.
And it was, I suppose, it was when you were with your granny.
Yeah.
and this fateful trip to Dublin.
Yeah. So when we moved back over from Australia, we lived in England for a time and then in Belgium. But this is the constant in my life and all through my life was my grandmother. When we were living in Australia, every time my mother had a baby, I'm the eldest of eight, my grandmother used to just move out and stay with us for a month or 2 months and just be part of our life. So she was always this character, this really strong character in my life. And I think in being from a big family, you probably, it's great to find someone who is your person. And that was, for me, that was always my grandmother. Mm. So when my family was living in Belgium, my parents used to send me and my brother Tom, at the time that you could send kids of 14 on a flight by themselves, used to stick us on an Aer Lingus flight and send us over to grandma, where we'd just stay with her and just get totally immersed in Irish country, Irish life, and it was just amazing.
You were living in an Ireland of
the proper, different generations.
But all the iconic things were still there.
Yeah. So it was brilliant because when we moved there, we just slotted in with her life. So she would she'd bring us the things that she thought were really good for us to do, which were amazing. First of all, she'd bring us to meet all the older generations, so all her brothers and sisters, and she'd bring us to Killee, which was her home place, like the farm that she was born on and that her brother then was living in, and now his son is living in. So she'd bring us to see all these amazing, just to see our origin story and bring us around to all these people. And then she'd just bring us to the things that she would be doing normally. So we'd go to her holy hour of obligation. We would go on the bus with her when she was going on a pensioner's field trip. We'd just do whatever she was going to do. And one day she just decided to take us on a trip up to Dublin. So we went on with her. She had her bus pass at the time. So she probably only had to get two fares for the two of us. And we headed up to Dublin. And then she took us on one of those open-top bus tours where you go around the city. First of all, it was like the first time I'd heard a real like dub. So yeah. I was just like, wow, that's an amazing way of talking.
Who are these people?
What is this? Yes. This is just, I love this place. We went around it. Just literally the bus came around the corner and I saw Trinity, and I think the front gate is now opening up a little bit more. It's been shut during COVID, but when you glimpse through this art, and you can just see this amazing life happening in there. And I saw that and I said, what? And I just remember saying, what's going on? And she's like, that's Trinity. I said, I would love to study there. And she just said, yeah, and so you shall.
And that was it. Like the fairy godmother in Shrek.
Yeah.
And so you shall. But so a seed was sown and a dream was, a dream was born. And but you're only 14. So what did you just continue to harbour this ambition to be there?
Yeah, and I think anytime anyone said, what are you going to do when you finish school? I was just said, I'm going to go to Trinity.
Yeah.
And that was just it. And I had a little picture. I think I'd picked up some, like, a prospectus or something on some trip. And I had a picture of the Campanile, and I cut it out and I stuck it in my school diary. And anytime anybody said it, I would just open it up and read, this is where I'm going. This is me now.
Really? So
no question of it. But
It reminds me of talking to people like Barry Keoghan, the actor, and he says, that he wrote down a list of directors he wanted to work with, and he's ticking them off as he gets there. If you write these things down sometimes. So you wrote down the name of this particular university. Were you in Australia then again after?
So I was back in Australia. So a lot of my peers probably hadn't even heard of it.
Like, of course.
Australians tend to go travelling when they finish school. They go for, like, they do Europe in a year and then that's it. They just like, tick, done, and then they're back. So at this point, I'd say nobody in my class, hardly anybody, would have had a passport, let alone had been overseas. So this was just, I mean, they probably thought I was all a bit weird, but I mean, everyone's just like, no, that's just it.
Okay, so we'll jump ahead to the fact that you did get accepted there, which is congratulations, retrospectively.
So you're
18 years old and you're heading off, you're having a sort of... an 18th birthday party, which doubles up as a send-off. Good luck with that. And you move back to Ireland to get to this coveted place in Trinity. And I presume you live there?
So I came over and then I got a place in Trinity Hall, which was just the best thing to have ever happened, really, for many, many reasons.
Yes. If you're just joining us, by the way, I'm talking to Sally Rooney about her latest adventure. Oh, no, I'm not.
No.
This is getting very, very normal people, because in your boarding situation, I presume it was fair. I mean, you're students, you're living on campus. Is it hedonistic or is it a convent school?
It was pretty wild. Like, I think maybe that they tried to, when you kind of have to send in a little CV to Trinity Hall to get accepted. And I think that probably they're trying to pick very sensible people. But when we got there, I mean, I think for Irish people, definitely it was a lot of the time, like, it's people's first time away from home. It's a lot of people, maybe it's different now, but a lot of people hadn't even really drunk before. People had their pledge and people had suddenly this release, and I think everybody felt it there. It was just like
the pandemic end.
Yeah,
just
it was
this
like
release,
that.
like that ad for the chewing gum, and out you go and have the. But you met a man.
I met my husband John Hugh. So, and I think it was one of those. I mean, it sounds really, really cheesy, but when I met him, like, we just both knew that was just it.
It happens. I've read about it in the books. You get struck and you can't do anything but stay where you are. So you kept going through college anyway. And you got to second year, I think, and a bit of news.
Yeah, So we started going out in that first year in Hull, and so going out was more like we just kind of all our friends were just all went to all the same places, and that was it. But we were just an item. There was no dating. We were together, and that mm-hmm. was it. And then over that first summer, when it happened that I suddenly realised that I was pregnant.
You fell pregnant, Annie.
It just happened. It was like a bolt from the blue. So that was a strange enough summer. We didn't. Yeah. We tried like kept to do for ourselves for a while, and then we told our families. Both our sets of families were so good to us. I think they were probably I'm sure they were horrified because this is not what they had planned for us. And you know, that's not, you know,
happier times.
We know what we planned. What you planned for a child at the same age.
Exactly, but it was different times, and you had a beautiful child as a result of the union.
Yeah, exactly. And I think both sets of our parents were, once they realised that we didn't want to drop out, or we weren't going to let this alter our ambition for life. But I think that kind of said, oh, right, okay. And I remember my parents say, well, how are you going to manage? And I was like, oh, it's going to be all right. And I think we were so confident, maybe naive, but that, why wouldn't this be fine?
I mentioned Sally Rooney earlier on, but I should also mention Maeve Binchy's Circle of Friends, which is, this story is beginning to feel like as well. Did your actual circle of friends diminish a little when you became a mum?
Yeah, it really did at the start, because the kind of friends you meet, you know, like your first year friends, at the start, it's just going out and it's just having fun. So you don't really have to expect a lot from your friends, and you don't have to commit a lot to your friends. It's just the people that you're having fun with. And there's a lot of people that you can have fun with, but they're not necessarily the people that that you can turn to if things get more serious. So it did kind of, it was, when I went back in second year and I didn't even have a bump yet, but I knew I was pregnant. So I just felt so different. It just, everything was different.
But you ploughed on, I have to say. Admirably. And you kind of finished your college degree and stayed with the man. And that all worked out. You got married ultimately.
Yes, we did. 13 years later, we finally did.
And how many? How many children do you have now?
So we have 5 children now.
Okay, that's a grand, healthy family. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So,
and are they good with the dishwasher, or are they?
No, they're abysmal. I actually just say just put the stuff beside it because you're going to get it wrong. I need to do a laminated sheet or something. I don't know.
Where is the baba?
So
my
big baba.
Yeah, big baba. Where's big baba?
She's off. Actually, she's off working today. She's minding her niece, but she's So she's in Trinity now. Yeah, she's back in Trinity. She's on her home turf.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. So the circle is complete.
Yeah, the circle's complete.
That's so funny.
Yeah, we always hoped that she would go. That she would come back to Trinity, because she was like literally, she lived on campus, she was in the creche on campus. It was just her first home, and we just always hoped, and all our friends hoped that she would come back and that she would love it as much as we loved it.
Isn't that nice?
And she does.
Hey, I have to go there today. That's why I'm a little dressed up today. I'm going to the Law Society to give me a thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to meet some students there. So I'll be thinking of you as I'm heading over the cobblestones later on. That's lovely.
What a
day. It's been good to talk to you. I wish you every happiness, Annie, and your family.
Thank
you. And it's a lovely story. And it's great to know that you're all still talking to each other. That's the key.
You're still talking.
Have a great day. And thanks for your time.
Thank you. Okay,
that's
bye,
Annie Collar, and back to the dishwasher with. And I see it's Trinity Tales is a book edited by Circa Pollock and Katie Dixon. published by Lilliput Press, which is lilliputpress.ie for those interested in stories like that. And appreciate very much that Annie's time this morning. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie at 40 minutes to 10.